B-Pod Studios.
Toucher. Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Diabetes. Diabetes.
You know, I have diabetes.
Diabetes. Call Liberty. Call Liberty. Diabetes.
These are my testing supplies.
Diabetes. When I say diabetes. Diabetes.
Rest in peace, Mr. Wilford Brimley. Wilford Brimley, we're going to miss you and your giant walrus mustache. You of the Quaker Oats commercials. You of the diabetes commercials. You of the gruff manager from The Natural.
Pop.
By the way, I think he was like in his 40s when he was in The Natural, and he looked like he was 80. Like, do you remember the movie Cocoon? Cocoon was like these people, these old folks home, and this alien pod goes into the pool there, and all the old people, you know, jump in, and all of a sudden they're acting like they're 20 and they've got their youth back. I think I read that in that movie, he was only like 50 years old. So, like, you look at Wilford Brimley, and I think that Tom Cruise is 60. And you look at him in Cocoon. Like, Wilford Brimley, I think, was born with a mustache and already looked like he was 50 years old, just right out of the womb. He's a guy that was just born looking old, but he passed away this weekend. So, sorry about that, Mr. Wilford Brimley. But it did get me thinking, and there's something that John Wallach is wanting me to have been doing for a long, long time.
Oh, is it? You're not going to do it. You're going to do this?
Hit the theme, Dan.
Riddle of Life.
Yeah. Yes.
The return of Dead or Alive. John is a very morbid person. He's been wanting to play this game for a while.
Real quick, Rich, I looked it up. Remember how old he looked in The Natural, Wilford Brimley?
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley was younger in The Natural than I am now. I felt like crap when I found that out. Oh, my God.
By the way, listen, The Natural is one of those movies that I know is corny, but it gets you.
Yeah,
like, it's like, all right, it's corny, but it works. I'll fight to the death that a field of Dreams is super corny and does not work. Like, that one just tries way too hard. And for some reason, I can accept the when he hits the lights and all the lights fire out. Like, that's so cheesy, but I can accept that. But the stupid, is this heaven? No, it's Indiana or whatever. That, like, for some reason, it's like, oh,
Iowa,
God.
Damn it, it's Iowa.
It's like, are you kidding me? And, like, that speech by James Earl Jones, it's like, all right. Like, for some reason, and I know that The Natural is totally corny, but it works for me. I see it and I accept it. I'm like, okay. But Field of Dreams is the stupidest.
It's not. It's a great movie.
You clearly
have no idea what good movies are. Field of Dreams was about a boy reconnecting with his dead father. Yeah. He couldn't play catch with him, and he plays catch with him at the end.
How about they have Shoeless Joe Jackson actually bat left-handed, though?
That's true. That was a problem. Right,
that's
Ray Liotta did
stuff.
Not hit left-handed. That was a problem, you know, historically speaking. That was a problem. And I'll tell you, I went to the field where they filmed The Natural when I was a kid.
Did you sit down for a week?
No, but for real, Rich, they're actually playing a game this week in Iowa.
Yes.
At that field.
Major League Baseball,
care.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going
like
to the
that,
Field
and,
of Dreams.
And,
yeah.
and all these, like, roaches and Wallachs are going to be sitting there and laughing themselves.
People will come, Rich. They'll come to watch.
They'll come, Ray. They'll most definitely come.
I don't know why one corny movie just works and one corny movie is like just
you're incorrect.
Corny.
Both worked wonderfully, and you have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, so you got the bed there, Dan? You got the little journey? We got some journey?
I'm
excited.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so I will give you the name of the celebrity, and the reason I'm doing this is because I actually had no idea Wilford Brimley was still alive. I had no idea. Apparently he was very witty on Twitter for a while if he wasn't DMing you and telling you to F off. I will give you the name, and you tell me whether or not they are dead or alive. And you, Joe Murray, also are included in this, okay? Let's start with Doc Brown, Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future, and Taxi. Is he dead or alive?
Alive. He's alive.
Oh, he's alive.
81 years old. He is indeed alive. That's right.
That's new. The Bon Jovi's new. You added that to the game.
It's like an a cappella version. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Is that the one he was doing on stage? Is that the one where you had Bill Belichick and who was the other
dude? Charlie Weiss.
Charlie Weiss sitting side stage and just nodding their head? Yeah. Pat Morita, a.k.a. Mr. Miyagi, dead or alive?
He's dead.
He's no longer with us.
Yeah, he's dead.
He died at the age of 94. I'm sorry, not 94. He was like 60-something. But he died in Vegas. And I told you my Mr. Miyagi story is that I was getting into an elevator. I was staying at the Flamingo, real classy hotel in Vegas.
I
bet you would. But I get into the elevator, and this family comes walking in. And I hear these two kids, these two little kids. They're like maybe 6 or 7. They say, bye, Grandpa. And I look out. I look up, and it's Mr. Miyagi. It's Pat Morita. And he goes, bye, kids. And I kid you not, I'll put my hand on a Bible and may I be struck down if I'm lying. He goes, and remember, kids, wax on, wax off. Oh. And I was like, ah! And then it was like me at the Field of Dreams for John Wall. Like, I couldn't sit down. I was like, ah! I actually saw Mr. Miyagi say that. And of all the things, and I don't know what the content, they're probably sick and tired of him saying wax on, wax off. It's probably the only thing. He probably ends every conversation with that. But it was like his grandkids, and he told them to do that. It's like, all right, Grandpa, we get it. You were in a movie that was somewhat popular. All right, let's go with Kirk Douglas. Dead or alive?
This is the hard one because that guy lives for... He was like 106 at one point. I'm going to say he finally passed away.
I think he's alive.
Johnny Wallgame!
Okay.
He died February. He was 103 years old.
I told you.
And the reason I ask you Kirk Douglas is because we've had Kirk Douglas on every edition of Dead or Alive. And it's just... I'm going to continue to do that. It's an ongoing thing.
All right.
Make
sure with that one.
Warren G, rapper Warren G, dead or alive?
Joe, you take this. I got to think about
he's
this.
He's alive. I saw him last year in New Hampshire.
Oh, well, in that case, he's alive.
Was this a Hampton Beach Casino special?
What's the one up in Guilford, New Hampshire? I saw Snoop Dogg. And Warren, it was Warren G and Snoop Dogg together.
Oh, and he's alive, Rich.
Yeah.
Meadowbrook. I think it's called Meadowbrook.
It
was called Meadowbrook Pavilion.
Yeah, that place is nice.
Right. Oh, nice. Okay.
Heavy D.
Oh, he's dead. He's dead. Yeah.
Dead.
Joe?
Dead.
That was a very sad day. He's dead. Yeah.
How about the other half of Regulate? Nate Dogg. Dead or alive?
Dead.
Oh, he's smoke weed every day. Dead.
Dead.
That's right. He died in 2011. No longer with us. Florence Henderson.
She's dead, too.
She's dead.
We're on a run here. Yeah, she's dead.
Florence Henderson, didn't you die? Any member of the Black Eyed Peas?
Unfortunately, still alive.
Ooh. Yeah, unfortunately. it's not even on my list.
Do you remember,
all of a sudden,
Rich,
my morbid brain started going.
You remember when they did the halftime show and most of them are useless, but the most useless guy, what was his name, Tabu? He wrote an autobiography. Remember that?
Oh, no.
He wrote an autobiography.
I don't remember that.
And he was actually going on ABC Good Morning America publicizing his autobiography.
Oh, he played that. It was great. The autobiography was called What Do I Do? It was just called I Got a Cool Karate Kick.
Yeah,
like, what does Tabu do in the Black? We know that, like, you know, Will I Am, he does their. Boy, I can't stand. I mean, the Black Eyed, I've always thought that if you played 3 Black Eyed Peas songs in a row, the portal to hell would open up. It's like the code to the end of days.
Yeah.
And so, like, Will I Am just writes the sappy, like, the stupidest stuff that he writes specifically for certain events, like, tonight's gonna be a good night. That's for like weddings, for like really bad weddings.
Right.
Was written specifically for that. Like all that. What you gonna do with all that junk? Oh, I can't stand that van. I can't stand it. But you know what? But at least the halftime show, they brought the house down. They raised the roof. All right. So Joe, we are now about to speak your language. Let's go to the world of wrestling. All right. I will give you the wrestler. You tell me if they're dead or alive.
Okay.
Bruno Sammartino.
Dead.
He just died like a couple years ago. He lasted a while.
Great technical wrestler, was WWF champion for many years.
Might be on the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, wow.
Might be.
What, you going there? Ooh. Oh, boy.
So I mean, Mount Rushmore, who else you got on there? You got
Ric Flair. Probably Stone Cold Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Hang on. Andre the Giant is not on your...
The Rock isn't on there?
So, no. No, the Andre the Giant's the eighth wonder of the world, so like he...
Oh, he has his own mountain. Okay, yeah. I got it.
Hulk Hogan belongs just because...
People don't like his wrestling, but he brought the sport forward.
I think the Undertaker, though, will be making his way, even though he just retired.
What about Fandango?
He's still alive. I know him. Johnny Curtis, right? He's from Boston.
Yeah, of course you know him. You know all these guys.
So, would Jimmy Stewart agree?
Where'd you see him? The Loon.
Would Jimmy Stewart agree with this?
No, he doesn't.
Mount Rushmore? No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
Everyone's got their own.
I see.
All right. Diamond Dallas Page, DDP.
He's still alive.
Yeah, he's alive. 64 it's funny. Just this weekend, I went and watched. I was in a video that had him. Like, I mean, there was this band called Stuck Mojo that Diamond Dallas Page like did a video with, and you could see me jumping off of a out of this wrestling. Had the wrestling ring set up in this warehouse, and it was like you couldn't control the crowd. They all wanted to get into the ring because Stuck Mojo was playing, and then Diamond Dallas Page and is it Raven? Was he the curly haired, long haired dude? They like had a wrestling match during this. It's like one of the all time cheesiest concepts for a video. Like they went all in on wrestling, but sure enough, there I'm in the back going, woo! And that was like 20 years old or something like that. So there you go. If you want to see DDP, all those guys like lived right near me. My wife actually went for an interview with the WCW back in the day. She was going to be one of the people who does the like licensing for the music. Yep. So basically, they were the ones who would, you know, license songs that sounded exactly like Enter Sandman, but changed one note so they could legally get away with completely ripping off a popular song for an entrance. So there you go. All right. Well, we've run out of time, but I have so many more here, John. I just for a brief moment thought I would give you happiness.
I'm so pleased. Because Thank you so much.
That's right. You're a morbid son of a bitch, and for some reason you've been wanting to play this. So there you go. And still, no members of the Black Eyed Peas have passed away. All right, 617-779-0985. We will have Jay King from The Athletic. He covers the Celtics for their publication, and we'll get his opinion on everything that happened this week. I didn't think they looked that bad. Matter of fact, I'm fairly encouraged.
Very encouraged.
So we'll talk to him about your Boston Celtics right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
I'm going to dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, Lillard. Moving to his right. Shot clock already down to 8. Lillard goes for the steal. Tatum keeps it alive. Tatum starts a drive. Shovels to Jalen. Corner. 3.
Ooh.
Got it.
3 points. Celtics. Jalen Brown.
Man, them two young boys
timeout
right there.
Portland.
A beast.
Tatum kept Lillard at bay, Jaylen Brown was waiting in the corner, and he made no mistake. His 6th 3 of the afternoon, and the Celtics lead by 6 with 31.8 to play.
Man, they got the world's greatest wet t-shirt contest DJ to be the in-house announcer at Disney World, didn't they? And I don't know whether it's something that our station can control, because when we talked to Gorman, I know that they couldn't control the volume of that guy on the broadcast.
No, actually, from what I understand, it's what's called a world feed, which means, you know, ESPN, they feed you a certain thing, and you just have to take it. There's no controlling of the levels.
I mean, just listen to the sheer volume of this guy when he comes
Hounded
in here.
Hounded by Lillard. Moving to his right. Shot clock already down to 8. Lillard goes for the steal. Tatum keeps it alive. Tatum starts a drive. Shovels to Jalen. Corner. 3.
Ooh.
Got it.
3 points. Celtics. Jalen Brown.
Man, they're too young.
Let's welcome to the stage. It's Roxanne. Well, that was something that was unavoidable, that guy's voice. But good weekend for the Celtics. You're not going to get the calls that Giannis gets, but the good news is, in my opinion, Giannis is the only one in the East who is going to get superstar treatment. There's several different people, probably six or seven out West, who will, but unless it's Giannis, you're not going to have any one of the Raptors who gets that. It's just that's the way it is. Tatum is not that guy yet. Maybe one day he will be. But Jay King, lead Celtics writer for The Athletic, and who's also joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He also had a career judging and DJing wet T-shirt contests. He has that same exact voice as that announcer, and he joins us now. Jay, how's the throat doing today?
It's doing well. You know, the wet T-shirt contest went well. Doing all right.
Excellent. So what did you think of, I guess, the biggest question going into this postseason was the mystery of Kemba Walker. What did you think of his two games this weekend?
He's been promising. And I think that's the most important thing for the Celtics is that Kemba has looked good. He was able to handle more minutes in the second game. He's been very efficient. He's hit threes. He's gotten to the rim. He's gotten where he wants. He's looked like Kemba Walker. And that's the most important thing. He was really bad before the NBA hiatus. He came back, had a setback right away. They were so cautious with him. I think everyone was a little worried about what he was going to look like. He's been really good.
Now, are you of the mindset that these restrictions that he's got, obviously he's not playing the end of these games, that once the playoffs start, he's basically going to be, they're going to just use him like they normally would if he was fully healthy?
Yeah, that's their plan, is to ramp him up throughout the seeding games, to have him on basically a full-minute diet by the time the seeding games are over. And then by the playoffs arrive, they hope that he'll be 100%, and or at least as close to 100% as possible, able to hold up during the playoffs. I think that's the biggest question right now. Can he stay at this level throughout an entire playoff run? And I think there's a concern there because, number one, he's hurt. It's obvious they're being cautious with him. They want him to strengthen up the knee. And number two, he's never been through a long playoff run, and they hope to have a long playoff run. And so this is all going to be new for him.
Jay, what's your take on the officiating over the first two games? It seems like the Celtics got the short end, at least four calls from my count.
It was great officiating. Nothing wrong. I'm kidding. I mean, there were definitely some borderline calls at best. The one that really stood out to me was when Tice got hit in the leg. They blew the whistle. And at that point, you think they'll probably call a foul, but no. They reviewed it for a hostile act, found there was no hostile act, found there was no foul, which I think is probably the wrong call.
Laughable is the word you're looking for.
Yes. Yeah, I thought the Marcus Smart block was actually a block. I thought the backcourt was so close, it's tough to call, like really, really tough to call at the time. And then the Tice one, that was a bad call, too. But Brad will never win a challenge. Brad has not. I'm not sure he's ever won a challenge. He will never ever win a challenge, even if he's right.
But you agree, because we were talking about this morning, there's just some players that get the star treatment. I mean, you know, for years you had LeBron, you know, getting away with anything. And my opinion is that, you know, the Celtics are only going to have to, in the East, deal with that with Giannis, because there's nobody else in the East that will be that gets that kind of treatment. Do you agree with that?
That could be the case. I mean, Joel Embiid will draw a lot of fouls because of the way he plays. I'm not sure that it's star treatment. I think it's just he's bigger and stronger than everybody else that he's going to play, especially on the Celtics. And he's looking like probably going to be the first round matchup. So that could be an issue too. But yeah, I mean, Giannis, because of the way he plays, because of who he is, he's obviously going to put a lot of pressure on the officials. And I loved how the Celtics reacted to that. Marcus Smart was like, yeah. We know why he stayed in the game. He's young.
Well, Jalen put out that Instagram of him, you know, photoshopped, you know, of Giannis walking with the official and holding hands. I mean, I do like, however, too, that Marcus Smart got fined, but Jaylen Brown, they were cool with that. Like, you can photoshop all you want. I don't care. Put that out into the universe.
Yeah, photoshop Giannis with holding hands with referee Ken Maurer. That's cool. But don't say the refs were giving him preferential treatment.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, John.
I'm just watching these last two games, and you mentioned it, Jay. We've been talking about it, too, how good Kemba looks. If all these guys are firing right, now Jason Tatum looked good, Kemba Walker looked good, you saw Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward, how far do you think this team can go?
I mean, they got a chance because I'm not sold on anybody in the East. I think Milwaukee's fantastic. Milwaukee's defense has been unbelievable. I just think that there's not a huge talent difference between Milwaukee and everybody else. Obviously, Giannis is the best player in the conference. Chris Middleton's great. But I just don't think they're like, there's no Warriors out there. I'll just put it that way. And so the Celtics are good enough to give anybody a series. I don't think they're the favorite. They're third in my book behind, tied for second with Toronto behind Milwaukee. But they're on a different tier from Milwaukee. But I give them a chance in a series just because they have legitimately five guards who are really good. And Tatum has become, he has a chance to be the second best player in the East during the playoffs, I think. And so they're tough to stop. And when all those guys are playing well and when they're working together, it's just really hard to guard all of them at once.
What did you think of the bench? Because, you know, this team needs somebody to step up during the playoffs. I mean, and I know that Wanamaker looked pretty good in game one, game two, not as much. You're getting glimpses of a couple of these guys. What did you think of their performance this weekend and who's got the most pressure on them from the bench?
Yeah, I thought they were okay. I think one of the biggest takeaways, though, is that when they're fully healthy, which they haven't been much at all this season, they barely use the bench. The only guy who played more than 10 minutes beyond Marcus Smart off the bench was Enes Kanter, a center. Other than that, the perimeter guys, they're not going to play much. Grant Williams played fewer than 10 minutes. Shemi Ojeleye, fewer than 10 minutes. Brad Wanamaker, fewer than 10 minutes. And Kemba Walker is still on minutes restrictions. So when he gets more minutes, that's going to even further cut into the perimeter guys. So I think the bench issues are real, but they're less of a concern when the Celtics are healthy. And when they're on a playoff rotation, those guys really won't get many opportunities at all.
Now, I know they're a young team, but can they sustain that? I mean, that's a lot of minutes on these guys that they're, you know, they're depending on them. And obviously, you're right. It works. We've seen it work. But can they sustain that with such little help from the bench?
I think so, because what's different with the Celtics is they have five guys, including Marcus Smart off the bench, who they're going to want to play 34 minutes or more. And so it's not like they're loading up certain guys to 41, 42 every night. It's just they're spreading them out more. They have more top-end depth, I would say, than most teams in the league. They're not the deepest team, but, like, they have five really good players. Not many teams do. Gordon Hayward might be the league's best fourth option. Marcus Smart coming off your bench, that's a huge luxury. So I think it's sustainable because it's not like you're loading up one guy with too much of a workload. Those minutes will be spread out to five different guys.
Hey, Jay, I just want to ask you about that Heat game that's coming up that he played today. We'll be able to see them. I'm not sure what's happening with Jimmy Butler. He didn't show up yesterday, but how important is it to get that win? And is there still a race between those two teams?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Maybe the Celtics want to go to four and play the Pacers instead of the Sixers. So I don't know. It's too early to tell how important that will be for seeding. But obviously, the Heat, they're one of the teams in the mix, and they are. They are within shouting distance of the Celtics for the third seed. So it's an important game. All these games, I mean, the teams in the bubble for the most part are pretty good. So it's going to be a tough schedule for most teams in there.
Yeah, if they drop, isn't there a chance that they could go on a murderer's row of, I mean, it would be the Sixers and then Raptors and potentially Bucks, right? If they end up like dropping and seeding?
Yeah, I mean.
That's their seeding now, Rich. If they finish third, that's what they get.
Right, if they finish right third, now, I'm sorry. That's right. Well, that sucks.
And then if they drop to four, they might avoid the Sixers in round one, but then
they get the Bucks in round two. Yeah.
So that's might be in trouble either way. Either way, I mean, the big thing for the Celtics coming into the bubble, I thought, seeding wise, was to have Indiana drop to six. Obviously, them beating Philadelphia in their game the other night was a big deal for Boston and probably means Joel Embiid in round one.
Oh, gee. Well, I mean, I'm not worried about the Sixers, and I'm sure those words are probably going to come back to haunt me, but I just think they find a way to lose. They find a way to lose, and I just think that the DNA of that team is a loser DNA, and I love Joel Embiid. I love Joel Embiid, but there's just something off on that team, and I don't have any problem. The Raptors I'm worried about. they're another team. You know, they just obviously don't get any respect, and you know who else doesn't get respect? Everyone just writes off Chris Middleton. Like, Chris Middleton is a Celtics killer. And just for some reason, he's just, oh, yeah, right. He ruins them. And it's like, oh, it's all Giannis. No. Chris Middleton is, you know, he's goofy looking, but the dude is an assassin when it comes to the Boston Celtics. He looks like that. This is going to be a reference that only people who have kids. He looks like the rooster from Moana.
Oh,
you know, it's
Jesus.
Like his eyes are kind of all crazy like that.
He's an all-star. He's no good.
No one's going to get that reference. Yeah, but still, he's always written off. They talk about the Bucks. It's like, oh, it's Giannis's team. Dude, Chris Middleton is a killer. And it's just, it's one of those things like, oh, yeah, this guy plays for them too, and he's going to destroy you and, you know, ruin things.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's ever missed a shot against the Celtics. I'm pretty convinced he's never missed one. He was 6-for-20 the other night. That box score live. And, of course, he hit the big one, too. So pull up.
All right, Jay King, good stuff. Love reading your stuff on The Athletic. We appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we'll have you on for a good long while. Let's keep this going. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks
it,
for having me on, guys.
Take All care. Right, here's Joe Murray with your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and I just two things. First of all, I'm getting sent pictures of Chris Middleton standing next to the chicken from Moana, and I appreciate it. As I said, unless you got kids, you probably don't get that reference. But the other thing is, the more I think about what happened last night during the Red Sox broadcast, the more I just think about how, like, unacceptable it is. So, is it Matt Vasgersian?
Vasgersian.
Vasgersian, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Matt Vasgersian is in the booth over there with Alex Rodriguez.
And by the way, you continue, I just explain, Matt Vasgersian has been doing national broadcasts for about 15 years. So he's a guy who is, this isn't the first time he's done this.
He's the best. Yes. Okay. He's great. Yeah, he built the temples and he's the best. All right.
Not
so
my
Matt
point.
Vasgersian.
Not my point at all, Rich.
He's at the pinnacle of broadcasting. Yeah. So he's, I'm watching the game last night. It's the second inning. The second inning of the ninth game of the season or whatever. And Aaron Judge hits a home run, and this is his reaction.
To wear down.
Oh, my goodness! Aaron Judge has done it again! Homers in five straight! Santa Maria!
What are you doing? That is not a walk-off. This isn't the playoffs. You reserve heavy metal singer voice for something like that. Why are you screaming in the second inning of a Sunday night baseball game against a team that sucks? Like, what is he? Why is he so amped up for this? And don't think that that's not the end. Don't think that that was it. Because Aaron Judge wasn't finished. Except this time, A-Rod's... Like, A-Rod apparently took the E as well in the booth. And here is what, listen to him adding on. So, first of all, Mr. Vasgersian, the greatest broadcaster of all time, you know, he gets all hot and bothered. And then A-Rod says, I'll one up.
2-0 to Judges, hit a bunch to lefty, did it again. Oh, my. Second of the night for Aaron Judge.
Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Aaron Judge. Wow.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Rich, love to hear John Sterling. I would love to hear if John Sterling went as nuts, because John Sterling's Mr. Yankee. You know, Susan Waldman, Mrs. Yankee, mom and pop Yankee, who go crazy over nothing. I would love to hear the calls of those.
Rise yeah. from
no,
Mr.
here
Judge.
Comes the judge. But I think John Sterling would understand that it's still the first 2 weeks of the season. You know what I'm
All right,
saying?
Dan, Rich,
can you do
Dan?
Me a favor? Play either one of those Vasgersian clips again.
Okay, I'll play this one.
Wear down.
Oh, my goodness! Aaron Judge has done it again!
Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I actually heard that she was singing the national anthem this week.
She did.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that, too. Yes.
Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back.
Way better overmodulation.
Oh, my goodness. Aaron Judge has done it again.
Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is...
And by the way, and then the end of it, Santa Maria. And I'm like, what? And Jack goes, oh, yeah, that's his catchphrase.
That's his cut. That's what he does. That's what he's done all. That's his thing.
Yep. As I said, huge fan of Christopher Columbus. Like, why is he yelling Santa Maria?
I don't know.
Nobody knows that's his catchphrase except for John Waller.
I don't know what to tell you. I just know these things. I mean, a nerd. That's fine. Yeah. That's just his catchphrase.
I heard that. And it's one of those things where, you know, I had the game on the background and I heard that. I'm like, oh my God, did somebody get shot? Like, no, it was just an impressive home run.
The thing is, if you listen to it, he freaks out. And then he just goes, yeah, and the Yankees make it too. It was just like he freaks out and then just goes right. It was like he got it all out and then just back to normal again.
You know what's great about that, too, is. They're not there, are they? Are they back in Connecticut? Like, they're not at the stadium,
yeah,
are they?
Yeah, that's correct. No.
So there's one thing that if you're in the booth and you're matching the energy of a crowd that's going crazy, so naturally you kind of raise your voice. He's sitting in a quiet room, like, just all alone and yelling that.
Even if he was there, Rich, there are no fans. Even if he's sitting in the booth and that happens, there's nobody in the building. Come on.
I mean, he's got to take some notes from my man, Cedric Maxwell.
Pizza time!
I mean, the guy got excited for that. By the way, Dan Roach just texted me and said, I knew Santa Maria was his catchphrase.
Attaboy, Danny. Attaboy, way to work.
You and John Wallach like mentally high-fived yourselves last night and said, I got that one. Just like Max's catchphrase.
Just double meat on this pizza. Thank you.
That's right. And then the whole Tiger Woods thing. It's like, all right, calm down. Like, they beat up on a team that they should have beaten up. They didn't beat up on a team, but they beat a team that they should have beaten. And we're just a couple games into the season. Now, granted, Aaron Judge might break the home run record, like, for like a regular season in a 60-game season. I mean, he's playing out of his mind. But, I mean, everyone just needs to just calm down just a tad on all of that. What does Santa Maria mean?
I don't know.
Roach, tell me that. Like, why does he say that?
I don't know. It's some Catholic exclamation, perhaps? I have no idea.
Somebody just tweeted me and said, I fell asleep watching the game on the couch, and that call of Judge's home run woke me up thinking my house was getting broken into. Oh, and of course, I got another So Dan, I'm sure Dan will text me back and give me the meaning of that. I'm sure that he knows. But, I mean, the Red Sox, they're not very good. And, I mean, especially with the awful news with Eduardo Rodriguez. Once again, that's something that the team could not control, and shutting him down is the right idea. I feel bad for him. You hope that this isn't something he's got to deal with for a while, and you hope that it's temporary. But I mean, it doesn't mean that the Red Sox are in any better of a position. And you got to be looking at this team and going, I don't know how anyone can have any faith that they're going to give you a watchable product. I mean, yesterday was a pretty good game. That was nice. I mean, I admit, you know, even though that you had Screamy Magoo over here, it was a pretty decent game to watch. But I don't know if you're even a Red Sox fan like you, John, like someone who, option A is watching the Red Sox, how you can muster up any energy to make them your choice when it's going up against playoff hockey and playoff
basketball
right now.
I told you this at the end of last week, Rich, that even I, Captain Red Sox fan, will not be paying attention if the Celtics and Bruins are on. And if the Celtics and Bruins had games last night, I wouldn't have listened to Matt Vasgersian and A-Rod. I would have watched the Celtics and Bruins. I mean, that's the way it is. The Red Sox punted on this season in February. They traded Mookie Betts and David Price. The worst part about all of this is that the front office is lying to us. You know, Chaim Bloom said after making the trade, no, it wasn't a salary. It wasn't a luxury tax thing. We just liked the deal we got.
Well, Verdugo's
no,
starting to suck
you now, didn't get anything back in return. You got one decent minor leaguer, one that catcher Connor Wong who projects to maybe being a major league backup, and you have Alex Verdugo, who hit 12 home runs last season. He's a starting outfielder on a decent Major League Baseball team, but not a star. So, yeah, it was absolutely – you traded your number two starter and an American League MVP for – in you know, if you were comparing the two, a bunch of junk. And you have the balls to come out and tell us that it had nothing to do with resetting the luxury tax? Or in Eduardo Rodriguez, who you must have known a while ago that he wasn't coming back. And yet you kind of strung everyone along. Well, maybe,
oh, no,
maybe,
no, no, no. The Eduardo Rodriguez thing, no. That is something that
it's
MRI
a good
showed
thing.
That was still bad recently.
Well,
so
that's a
you
good
can't
thing.
Fault the Red Sox for
okay.
that. That's the one
All
thing
right.
you can't.
Fine, but it's a good thing they're shutting him down. But ultimately, don't try and sell us on this season. We all realize what was going on a long time ago. There are no fans for you to kind of, you know, coerce into coming to watch your product this year. Be honest. You punted on this season. This is a remember when Theo Epstein came on and called it a bridge year?
Yeah, that's what this is. I prefer if they told us we're
That's
suck.
What this is. It's a bridge year. It's a Hang bridge on. Year until you can spend money to get free agents to come in next season and reboot your product.
I'm sorry, breaking news. You know, I was asking, first of all, I said, hey, what does Santa Maria even mean?
Santa Maria!
And one of our listeners said, it means St. Mary.
Okay.
And by the way, of course, Dan Roach ends up texting me. He goes, oh, here you go. And he, like, has screen-capped an interview with Mr. Vasgersian. And he says, my family, my sister in particular, has one of her oldest friends. My sister's mother is she says, Santa Maria at the drop of a hat. For example, she goes to the grocery store, sees tomatoes on sale, and just say, Santa Maria, what a deal. So that's why I yelled Santa Maria. And Dan Roach even said, I had to look it up. So I mean,
Santa Maria!
Yeah. Oh, there you go. All right. Well, we'll take your call. 617-779-0985. You just want to randomly yell about mundane things at a level that is inappropriate?
Let's
that
do
just
it.
Is. Go ahead. You want to talk about mundane things, but you want to do it screaming like Matt Vasgersian, and I welcome you this morning. All right. We will get to all of that. 617-779-0985. We got to talk about the Bruins as well, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It's Dutcher and Rich. Apparently, Wallach's Mr. Birthday Guy now. He knew it was Geddy Lee's birthday the other day, and so we're playing this because it's James Hetfield's birthday?
57.
Yeah, him and another guy's birthday.
John has a calendar that's like a birthday of the day thing, and you peel it back. So he said to me, he was very excited during the last commercial break. He peeled it back, and he went, oh, it's James Hetfield's birthday. We have to talk about this.
What are we, Maddie in the morning with our celebrity birthdays?
I just figured we got like 3 minutes before we get to 9 o'clock. Maybe you could put this in there. Far be it from me to try and help out.
Didn't say maybe. He did not say maybe. He said, let's do it.
I've got, I don't care. I have a problem with
Hetfield's
birthdays. There's not many respect more.
Hey, Rich, right we need yes. Rich. We yes. need you to reconnect. You're kind of burping.
Oh,
in and
okay.
Out.
All right. I will reconnect.
Yeah.
James Hetfield.
What's wrong with James?
I ask you,
Dan O'Brien, what's wrong with trying to make the show just a little bit better?
I love it, John.
I could tell.
Exponentially better during the commercial break when you're like, hey, get some Metallica bid.
Now, that's not what happened. You're misrepresenting again. That's the worst lie on this program is that I become some kind of overlord when I'm sitting
kind of
in this chair.
Some kind of monster.
Kind of monster.
That's right. And Thank be you, honest. Am I a monster when this happens?
You seem to be a little bit of a Sandman. You know, and when you're in that chair, nothing else matters.
I see.
You know,
Joe,
you're holier
am I on?
Yes, you are.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, yeah. Wallach isn't getting any of those references that you're putting out there right now.
Nothing.
Big James Hetfield fan.
Wallach, the Big James Hetfield fan, has no idea what you've been saying.
He's got
same
anger
last, like,
happening
couple.
Right now.
Just... See, that one wasn't even good. That wasn't even a good one.
So listen, underrated
Am I
album,
evil?
Dude.
You're the one.
I think you should give that album a listen. It wasn't great at the time, but I forced it. I mean, everything else that was out during that time was bad. And at least that one was like not terribly terrible.
Are you talking about St. Anger?
That St. Anger album I didn't love, but it was better than the other stuff that was out at that time.
Okay, well, that's wrong, because I believe Tool was still making albums.
Well, yeah, but come on. That was the last album they ever made. Well, until now.
Okay, but listen, I mean, I think Helmet made a new one around that time, too. All right, so either way, Deftones were making albums as well. But St. Anger, and then I'll shut up about Metallica, but this is how nerd I am about them, is that St. Anger is not a good album, but I'm glad it was made, because it was the first time they said, we're sick of playing this stupid, super slow, they're like, I want to actually make an album that has 8-minute long songs again, blistering guitar solos, and I want to go back to our roots. But they had a producer who had no idea how to do that. Bob Rock sucked. And he was like, I got no idea. The drums sounded just horrendous. He was like, dude, we're going to make it raw. I'm going to make it sound like you're hitting a tin can. But they had to have that album for them to realize how bad Bob Rock sucked. They kicked him out and they brought in Rick Rubin, and Death Magnetic, I will put as a top 3 Metallica album. Death Magnetic might be number 3. It's so good. And then, of course, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, even though Rick Rubin came in on the last one, it still was a little overmodulated. Metallica's never had good luck with their production, ever. But with the new one, it's great too. So I'm with you. St. Anger,
John is shaking his head in approval. He's like, yeah, Rich, I follow everything you're saying.
now we're nerding.
He's
out.
Getting nothing.
So you and
none
I, we need to do some like complete like nerd out metal stuff. I would like some sort of like podcast, just you and me, to nerd out on this. All right, so we have to talk Bruins. Unfortunately,
by the way, he buried the lead on the birthday of the day too.
Why?
Isn't it Tom Brady's birthday?
Yes, actually it is. Wait. Tom Brady's birthday is 43 today. But he's not here, so we don't care about that anymore.
Okay.
I'd rather talk about James Hetfield's birthday, to be quite honest. All right, let's get to what happened with the Bruins yesterday. It was bad. And as a matter of fact, there was somebody who on Twitter is one of our biggest Bruin supporters, not the Luchador. No, who called us? Who's on line one? Yeah, the Bruins Luchador. He ended up calling us or tweeting us, and he was one of these guys that was on the NBC broadcast. Like, you know, their face, they would pop up there. And I guess they had quite an incident yesterday. It was a sucky game. We'll get to everything that happened, but there was one moment that was actually fairly funny from the broadcast yesterday, and we will talk about that. No commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.